Thank you for listening. This is your host, Margaret Prescott.
Good morning. It's 8:59. This is KBOO Portland. Coming up in just about 1 minute, it's Press Watch, Teresa Mitchell's Weekly Nook, Weekly Look at the News You're Not Supposed to Know. At 9:30 on Fight the Empire, Per Fogering welcomes Professor Michael T. Clare to talk about his latest article in Truth Out. That article is entitled Girding for Confrontation, the Pentagon's Provocative Encirclement of China. At 10, Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary. 10:15, Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. At 11, on Between the Covers, David Naiman talks to writer, artist, and journalist Molly Crabapple about co-writing the new book, Brothers of the Gun, a memoir of the Syrian war. Thanks, KBOO members, for your support. Keep informed and get involved by going to kboo.fm. And click on donate to become a member. It's 9 o'clock.
All I know, I keep making this fooler. I stay protected. That blue steel it do ya. Yeah, my chick bad and I keep the Kill Bill. Yeah, born and raised. Thoroughbred trio. Let's go, let's go. All
I know. Hey, this is Randy West coming from OSP at our annual Yehusasa Talent Show.
Yeah, let me be clear about it. I got it. You way out of pocket. Don't bring this shit here. Getting body back, tipping the bottle back.
Yeah, this your boy TJ down in OSP, man. I'm telling you, rap music, you know what I'm saying, R&B, you know what I'm saying, got a little bit of comedy up in there, man.
Y'all make sure y'all tune in June 25th at 6:30 p.m. Check out some of these guys from the OSP prison doing their thing, you know. We got a lot of acts and a lot of talent in here to share with the world, so just make sure y'all check that out. June 25th, 6:30 p.m., Prison Pipeline, y'all.
Tell me, baby, are we gonna let the elevator bring us down? Oh, no, let's go.
Watch a weekly counter-propaganda and left opinion program here on your people-supported free radio station, KBOO Portland. I'm Teresa Mitchell. Join me for a brief peek behind the video veil of Monopoly media manipulation and an examination of the news you're not supposed to know. Let's review in our heads for a moment what we know about Trump's racism. He referred to rapist Mexicans during his campaign. He proposed putting up a wall, even though the very idea is noxious to all Americans who remember the Berlin Wall. He banned Muslims, trying to hide it at first as a banning of terrorists, smearing Muslims, smearing Islam believers as terrorists. He referred to fine people on both sides during deadly Charlottesville Nazi riots. He had his NFL outburst versus peaceful protests against black shootings by police. And now he has his no-tolerance policy, arresting all refugees at the Mexican border, a change which he made. He says that refugees will not be allowed to infest America. Can you think of more? Go ahead and call in 503-231-8187. MVM Corporation, centered in the internet capital of Ashburn, Virginia, 70% of the internet goes through Ashburn, is making millions of dollars by transporting separated and abducted children for the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Police. According to the Daily Beast, MVM used to contract with the CIA for armed guards and now is profiting from the child prisoner trade. Quoting the Daily Beast, MVM Incorporated has a contract with Immigration and Customs Enforcement to provide unaccompanied alien children transportation services worth $162 million. According to records reviewed by the Daily Beast, MVM's recent job postings show it sought to hire people to escort immigrant children from the border on commercial airlines. MVM is one of a number of defense contractors cashing in on the Trump administration's zero-tolerance policy of locking up immigrant families. The policy was implemented in early April, and soon after, MVM posted several of job advertisements looking for employees to escort immigrant children in cities like Phoenix, San Antonio, and McAllen, Texas, home of the infamous Ursula facility seen in photographs of separated children housed in chain-link cages. In a posting for a bilingual travel youth care worker, MVM sought escorts for unaccompanied children and teens. The job would entail accompanying them on domestic flights and via ground transportation to shelters all over the country, end quote. The Daily Beast also reports on a Facebook post, which is still up last I checked, from the friend of an airline attendant, citing the observation of 16 children as young as 6 years old being transported in silence by ICE on a commercial airline, each wearing black and gray cheap Walmart sweatsuits. MVM is currently hiring for jobs like cleared ICE linguists. In other words, if you've been working for ICE and you've been cleared for a security clearance with them, they're looking for Spanish analytic linguists, their words, and apparently from the job description, what they mean by that is just about anyone who has a bachelor's and can speak Spanish. They're doing that in several cities, and the cities where they're doing that are indicative of where their operations and where ICE operations are, so I want to cite a few of them. That would be New York, which was in the news today, Houston, Cincinnati and Columbus, Ohio, Los Angeles, California, Dallas and McAllen in Texas, Tacoma in Washington, Salem, Oregon, and also here in Portland and elsewhere, including the Virgin Islands, where they want an armed guard. In Portland, the most visible contractor for ICE is G4S, which operates the, or maybe they call it G-Force, which operates the ICE dungeon at 4310 Southwest McAdams Street at the corner of Southwest Bancroft. Perhaps you noticed if you were watching Democracy Now or listening that that protest has made the news. Portland protesters successfully shut down the facility earlier this week as outraged Oregonians blocked the driveway of the facility. Known for its dozens of security cameras, creepy steel-clad vans, and high steel bars, 50 Licks Ice Cream got in on the deal, offered ice cream for free for an hour to protesters, and from a photograph I saw, it appears that they were in front and possibly even blocked the driveway briefly. An ICE spokesman was quoted saying, "ICE operations at this location have been temporarily halted due to security concerns. Normal operations will resume once security concerns have been addressed." And on Democracy Now!, you could see the employees looking a little frightened and a little belligerent, bailing out of the facility as they are confronted by peaceful protesters. Now, that's what you call a security concern these days. Apparently, it doesn't have anything to do with weapons being borne against you. It's just you might be a little harassed and embarrassed. That's a security concern. Snowflakes. At one point, 30 tents were set up to confront Trump's family separation policy there at the ICE dungeon at McAdam and Bancroft. The group set up a Facebook page, which is still active, called Occupy ICE PDX. Meanwhile, a Nebraska branch of Antifa has released the names and addresses of 1,600 ICE employees. President Trump has reversed his stance somewhat, making a show of signing an executive order to imprison families together, as if he had not set the separation policy into effect without that process. As if should be the motto of the Trump administration. Families will still be criminally prosecuted as they cross the border to seek asylum, and families can't approach legal checkpoints from Mexico because the U.S. has coordinated with Mexican officials to make that nearly impossible. So they are forced to cross the border, where they are all arrested. New Trump policy did not used to be so, especially not when they were with children. It used to be that a more rational process was used. G-Force, MVM, and other profit-making contractors are part of the process of abducting the 2,300-plus little children and hiding their whereabouts from their parents and families. As these children continue to disappear into the profit system, it will be harder and harder to retrieve them and to return them to their grieving parents, some of whom do not speak Spanish or English, some of whom are not literate in either language to the employees of these corporations and to ICE employees, I say now that you must acknowledge that you have fallen into unspeakable evil. You must acknowledge this. You must repent of your crimes and atone for them by going public with what you know, employees of ICE, G-Force, and MVM. You must turn from evil now in order to be able to live with yourselves, and this is best done in mass, coordinating with like-minded employees if you can, so that you are engaging in a general revolt rather than single acts of defiance. And by the way, if you want any sort of similar career in the future, because this is going to rebound on you whether you do the right thing or not. If you want to keep working in that field, maybe if you want to keep working and stay out of jail, you would best revolt in mass. Speaking for myself, the shame and rage that I feel when I consider this outrage, on top of, well, the reservation system for the indigenous, the attempted genocide of indigenous nations, the family separating English schools, the family separating slave auctions, the mass incarceration and police slaughter of black Americans, the Chinese Exclusion Act, the internment of loyal Japanese citizens during World War II, and the cheering, gleeful response to Trump's blatant racism is difficult to bear. And indeed, I do not intend to bear it, because I have to live with myself too. I'm here to press for revolution and the final destruction of this putrefying lie of white America. Quiero asegurar a los oyentes que en cabe doble o no cesaremos en nuestros esfuerzos para por exponer, denunciar y agitar contra estas políticas racistas. For the world to live, whiteness must die. Number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. According to the World Socialist website, that's WSWS.org, another website which has been removed from your attention by algorithms on the web, WSWS.org, article by Jerry White, in one of the largest workplace raids in recent years, Immigrations and Customs Enforcement agents arrested 146 workers at a meat processing plant in northeastern Ohio on Tuesday. The raid was part of the Trump administration's campaign to terrorize and deport immigrant workers. With helicopters circling overhead, dozens of heavily armed federal agents from ICE, its surveillance arm, Homeland Security Investigations, and local police descended on Fresh Mark Factory in Salem, Ohio, arresting 98 men and 48 women. Simultaneous raids were carried out on Fresh Mark facilities in Massillon and Canton, Ohio, where ICE agents seized employment records but made no arrests. This was the second major raid of an Ohio workplace this month, following the storming of Corso's Flower and Garden Center landscaping centers in Sandusky and Castalia on June 5th, which resulted in the arrest of 114 immigrant workers. A video released by ICE showed agents preparing for the raid by checking their weapons, putting on bulletproof vests, speaking for myself, as if workers are going to open fire on them. Well, how pitiful. How ridiculous, how cowardly. I don't know where to go with that. But we've gotten used to it. I guess that's where I want to go to it. We've gotten used to police pretending that peaceful protesters are a security concern. We've gotten used to the Portland police putting on their bulletproof vests and their ridiculous riot getup, confronting, well, people like me in my seventh decade, ambling down the street with a sign, as if we had a rocket-propelled grenade to shoot at them. Returning to the article by Jerry White on WSWS.org, a video released by ICE showed agents preparing for the raid. Oh, okay, I already read that part. Workers still dressed in their white meat-cutting smocks were removed from the plant and lined up at a loading dock where agents checked their papers. Agents could be seen escorting away workers who had been handcuffed with plastic zip ties. An American-born worker told the local media that she was in shock from seeing her co-workers arrested and taken away. Everyone she works with, she said, were good people. Several friends and relatives, some of them crying, crowded around the factory gates to inquire about the fate of their loved ones, while families and local churches scrambled to care for the approximately 60 children whose parents had been taken away. ICE agents handed out flyers with a toll-free locator hotline number for the families of those arrested. Skipping ahead. Although ICE says it released several Salem suspects out of humanitarian concerns, such as health or family considerations, the agency said most of the undocumented workers will be detained in facilities in Michigan and Ohio while awaiting removal proceedings. A spokesperson with St. Paul's Church, which helped care for the separated children, said a few people managed to send some text messages, but for the most part, people couldn't talk to anybody. They were terrorized. Number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187. A little context. For decades now, the U.S. has turned a blind eye, largely, in terms of enforcement, certainly, and in terms of procedures for the massive influx of labor south of the U.S.-Mexico border. And people have come here to work because their countries have been devastated. Mexico has been devastated by the U.S. ferocious and greedy consumption of powder drugs. Mexico has been devastated by NAFTA, which wiped out the corn market and disrupted the basic pattern of making a living for millions of Mexicans. Central America has been devastated by U.S. Contra wars in the 80s, extending into the early 90s, and whose effects still have disrupted and tarnished those societies to the degree that life in parts of El Salvador, Honduras, Guatemala, is terrifying, untenable. You must leave if you wish to live. You wish for your children to leave. If you wish for your children to live, you must gather them and go somewhere else. And finally, by the arrogation of the status of the only nation that has the ultimate hard currency defended by the vast U.S. military and the nuclear weaponry, and propped up by the U.S. status as victor after the Second World War, our currency is still a hard currency, and if you can get into the U.S. from any of these countries, you can make money in hard currency, which devolves into relative wealth if you can get it back home. And there is a for-profit business owned by Americans, many such businesses, which make quite a bit of money by simply sending the money, envios de dinero, to countries south of the border. This is big business. This is big profit. Practically everywhere you go, in the course of a day, you're going past sheetrock that was put up by people who worked for extremely low wages under high stress conditions, subject to deportation, subject to firing for any offense or an imagined offense. Third-class citizens, third-class humans, not citizens, who come here, do the work twice as hard for half the pay. And all of us designated as white are profiting from that. Everything from roads to meat packing, that constant and, frankly, a little desperate labor. And so now, having brought these people here, having forced these people here, and I don't use the word lightly, these people are forced here, and you would come here too, under these conditions. Now we're pretending that they're criminals. Oh yes, they're just not white enough, and so we're going to tear their families apart. 2,300 children at least, 2,300 families torn apart. What would you do if your child was torn from you by an indifferent uniformed officer? How would you feel? What would happen to your child? What do you think would happen to your child as it developed? This is fascism, I didn't think. I hoped that it would not progress this quickly, but it has. We are under fascism. This is the moment. There's no way around it. There's no way to pretend now that Trump and his enthusiastic supporters are not racists acting on racism. They're not just racists. They're very active racists. They are deforming the society, not just in terms of embarrassment. Oh, Lord, no. They're tearing the society apart. They're forcing us into war. Faster and faster. So many things have changed. I invited you at the beginning of the show to call in 503-231-8187 with your comments and questions. And I was starting with a litany of all the things that tell you that Trump and his supporters are active rapists. Excuse me, I meant to say racists. Trump accused Mexicans of being rapists during his campaign. The racist wall, the racist Muslim ban, the racist comment there were fine people on both sides during the deadly Charlottesville Nazi riot, the racist outburst versus the NFL players, the racist no-tolerance policy arresting all refugees at the border after forcing them away from the checkpoints, criminalizing them, the racist comment that refugees are not allowed to infest the society as if they were vermin. One refers to infestations of bedbugs. And this is exactly how Nazis talk. And it's interesting that that language was learned by Hitler from American racism, which he was very impressed by, particularly the Indian genocide. He thought that was just amazing. Time is 9:20. In 10 minutes, it'll be Per Fagering talking about imperial war. Right now, you can call in with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187. I've turned to WSWS.org, Trotskyist organization. I'm not myself exactly a Trotskyist, but this is a good website, and I encourage you to pull it up. They're straightforward about their attitude. The Trump administration, they write, and its fascistic advisors cynically claim that their witch hunt of immigrant workers is aimed at protecting the jobs and wages of native-born workers. Throughout history, however, the war on immigrants has always been aimed at the entire working class. The goal of capitalist owners and nativist politicians is to divide and weaken the working class and create an atmosphere of fear and intimidation so that employers can exploit both native-born and immigrant workers with impunity. The meatpacking industry, and Freshmark in particular, are notorious for exploiting immigrant workers with the full knowledge of the authorities. In December 2017, Samuel Martinez, a 62-year-old Guatemalan worker, died after his leg was ground up in an auger at Freshmark's Canton plant. In 2011, 20-year-old Marcos Perez Velasquez, also a Guatemalan native, was electrocuted at the same plant while attempting to plug in a fan. And speaking for myself, this sort of thing happens because the facility is not kept up. The facility is not kept clean. The pace of work is frantic. And this goes back to whiteness. This goes back to the idea that it's okay to utterly crush human beings if they don't look like you and if they don't fall into the exclusionary status of whiteness. Whiteness must die. Returning to the text from WSWS.org, longtime RWDSU President Stuart Applebaum said the union was outraged by the actions of Donald Trump. He added that the union will not stand for violence against immigrants, and we will not stand for tearing families apart, this is a quote, and we will not stand for the terrifying tactics of the Trump administration, end quote. Applebaum, however, made it clear that the union would do nothing to oppose the Gestapo-style raids, offering nothing more than verbal promises to assist workers affected by this ICE raid. For his part, UFCW President Mark Perrone issued a craven statement, WSWS wrote, echoing the criticisms of Trump by leading Democrats and Republicans, which have focused on the brutal separation of children from their parents while not opposing the detention and deportation policy as a whole. Perrone said, quote, today's actions will only drive this nation further apart while also spreading unmistakable pain among neighbors, friends, coworkers, and loved ones. We urge President Trump and members of Congress to work together to fix our broken immigration system and to keep the demands of due process and family unity at the forefront, end quote. They write, the unions have been fully complicit in the driving down of wages and return to conditions, recalling those depicted in The Jungle, the 1906 Upton Sinclair novel about exploitation of largely Eastern European workers in Chicago's slaughterhouses and processing plants. During the 1980s, the UFCW betrayed bitter strikes at Iowa beef processors, Oscar Mayer, Hormel, and other meat processors after Hormel workers and local P9 in Austin, Minnesota refused to accept the industry-wide 23% wage cut to which the UFCW had agreed. The union put the rebellious local under trusteeship and removed its leaders. That's from WSWS.org. Number to call 503-231-8187, and Paul is on the air.
Oh, hey, Teresa. This is Paul Rowland. I just wanted to, I don't know if you talked about this Morrison Child and Family Services that has got children in I'm not sure which location. I think I was riding my bike up by Mount Scott the other day, and I saw this place, and I didn't know what it was, but they've just been reporting that I think that's one place where they have some immigrant children detained up there, and they're getting millions of dollars from the U.S. government. It's a nonprofit. I'm not sure where they're based out of, but Morrison Child and Family Services.
Morrison Child and Family Services. Thank you for adding that.
Yep.
Well, you know, it makes me want to turn to an article in Common Dreams, which doubles down on the information that was briefly mentioned in Democracy Now! This morning, that children are being drugged. The article is titled, Shut This Place Down, Children Drugged and Given Force Injections at Texas Detention Facility, Lawsuit Says, and it's by Julia Conley, a staff writer. She writes, as thousands of children remain in federal custody after being taken from their parents at the U.S.-Mexico border, federal court filings allege that children in at least one detention center in Texas have been forcibly given medications that made them dizzy, lethargic, and even incapacitated. And I could read more of that. But I want to ask you, Paul, I want to ask your general opinion. Are we not at a nexus now? Is this enough fascism, do you think, that people are ready to mobilize? I mean, clearly people are ready and were ready to mobilize heroically at the ICE detention center and got results.
Well, that was the spirit in which I was calling. I haven't been down there. I should get down there. But in the spirit of action, let me just read a little from this KGW. The largest shelter operated by Morrison is based in the old YWCA building on Southwest 10th Avenue. The nondescript brick building has no obvious signs of a shelter, though dozens of kids are held inside. A second detention center, the one I referred to, operates out of the old Rosemont School near Mount Scott in southeast Portland. This shelter is for children who present a danger to themselves or others. A former worker who asked not to be identified estimated there were roughly 20 migrant children, mostly teenagers from Central America, being held in the Rosemont shelter right near Mount Scott. And this ex-worker says they're treated well, etc. But you can go to KGW for that, and I know KOIN is reported. Anyway, I just want to note those two things. Maybe that could be another site of action. So thanks for covering this, and I'll get off the air.
Thanks very much for your call. Time is 9:26, four minutes to Per Fogering's commentaries and reporting, and you're listening to KBOO Portland. Continuing with the article that I was just mentioning, they quote forensic psychologist Mark J. Mills saying, you don't have to be a rocket scientist here. It looks like they're trying to control agitation and aggressive behavior with antipsychotic drugs. And speaking for myself, I can imagine that any kid with any sense would be fully agitated and aggressive after being separated from their parents, because what have you got left but to fight as hard as you possibly can? This is what one expects from a human being. Returning to the article, Mark J. Mills was an expert witness for a 2008 lawsuit over the administration of similar drugs to people who were being deported. He told that to Reveal at the Center for Investigative Reporting. He's quoted saying, the facility should not use these drugs to control behavior. That's not what antipsychotics should be used for. That's like the old Soviet Union used to do, end quote. And I couldn't agree more. That's exactly the sort of totalitarianism that the United States has now fallen into, and I just want to repeat that point. This is it. The fascism has fully bloomed. We can no longer pretend that we are not in full conflict with the 63 million people who supported Donald Trump. It's very sad, but we have come to this nexus of civil conflict, which we hope does not break out into full violent civil war. But the 63 million must be confronted, and Donald Trump must be confronted. This fascism cannot stand, simply cannot, will not stand. And so I call on you as a human being and as a fellow American citizen to do what you can right now. Something, anything, any of these facilities, anything that we've mentioned, politicians, social media, anything you can do, the fight is on. This is it. You will ask yourself, in the coming weeks, months, and years, what did you do? What did you do? What did you fail to do? You've been listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland, broadcasting to you at 90.7 FM and other frequencies in Cascadia, and broadcasting to you on KBOO.FM and in that manner to all the ships at sea. You've been listening to Press Watch, produced at KBOO Community Radio in Portland, Oregon. To hear previous shows, go to kboo.fm/presswatch.
Now it's us against the pipeline. Get on your feet for Standing Rock, and we'll show you how strong we could be when we unify.
KBOO hosts beloved community and action movie nights every third Thursday at 7 p.m. here at the radio station. June 21st, we'll show the documentary film Awake, A Dream from Standing Rock. Awake, A Dream from Standing Rock captures the story of Native-led defiance that changed the fight for clean water, the environment, and the future of our planet. Again, that's a screening of Awake for the KBOO Beloved Community in Action Movie Night on Thursday, June 21st at 7 p.m. at KBOO, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
It's been in decline since 1492, 500 years and counting. Surviving the genocide they call colonizing my turtle island. What is the...
Well, good morning. This is Per Fograng, and the show is Fight the Empire. And my guest is Michael Clare, who's a professor of peace and world security studies at Hampshire College. And his most recent book is Rising Powers, Shrinking Planet. And we have him on the line momentarily. He has written an article for Truth Out. He's written quite a few articles, and this one is called Girding for Confrontation and the Pentagon's Provocative Encirclement of China. And I really recommend reading his stuff. Basically, it's the United States is...